Join in and welcoming you here tonight. You see a good crowd present. Had some beautiful singing there, Brother Phil. That was mighty pretty. We have several visitors with us. Of course, I always have to mention my folks. I know my daddy will be glad when this is over because my poor mama's been dragging him up here to hear me from all the way from Columbia, bless his heart. No, anyway, that's a long way for them to drive, and appreciate them coming up and encouraging me. And there's a lot of preachers we have in the audience, but I will mention two. One is Brother Raymond Ragsdale back there. He talks to me about every week, and he preaches in Shelbyville. And I'm certainly good to see him and his wife and granddaughter with us. And it's also good to have Brother Mike Richardson there sitting with us. When I saw them and the other preachers, I thought, well, we'll just let them preach and I'll listen But anyway, we're glad that you're with us. And, of course, the title, I'm supposed to speak tonight about walking with God in adversity. And I felt kind of sorry. I told somebody when I saw this crowd, this is the biggest one we've had. Must be a lot of people here with hurting and stuff. So I feel sorry for y'all. But I'm glad that you're with us. And in a minute, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Phil has announced. And if you're not a child of God, I hope at that time you'll consider where you stand with Almighty God. As we've mentioned, our theme this week has been walking with God, and we've repeatedly shown that walking with God simply means that you're in a companionship, relationship, awareness of God's presence in your life, and you're in agreement with Him as you journey through this world as we are pilgrims and strangers. Tonight we're going to discuss walking with God in times of adversity. Now, it's interesting, Webster defines adversity as a state of wretchedness, misfortune, poverty, and trouble. And I think that's a pretty good definition. The Hebrew word means evil, distress, adversity. And we need to understand, and I want you to understand, that there's not a stage in any person's life when we don't go through some form of adversity. It's not something that we are immune to. Now, it might be emotional, it might be physical, it might be some type of spiritual adversity, it might be yourself, it might be others, it might be mental trouble, mental struggles, family struggles. You have loved ones that are going through different struggles. It might be financial struggles. And so we need to realize that it's not something that just people live their whole lives without having adversity. A lot of times when you think of adversity, you think of physical troubles. And certainly that is true. It ties in with suffering that goes on in the world. But from the time we're born until the time we leave this world, really from the cradle to the grave, there's no time in our life when we're not at some point going to be faced with adversity. And so we need to realize that that's going to be the case. And some people may say, why is that? Well, really, the answer is simple. It's sin. If you think back to the Garden of Eden, you had Adam and Eve in the garden in a perfect place, perfect conditions, perfect environment, perfect situation. In fact, the tree of life was there, wasn't it? And everything was great until they sinned. Then God kicked them out of the garden, put up the angel there to keep them away from the tree of life, lest they should live, eat of it, and live forever. And that's when trouble for mankind began. Job put it simply in Job 14:1 when he said, man is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. And how true that is. So understanding what the Bible has to say about adversity will certainly help us to understand it, what it says about life. And there's some basic things, of course, we need to remember. We live in a world of law and order. And I've got these two verses, you're familiar with them, Genesis 1:11 and Genesis 1:24, where it talks about the creation and how God set everything in order, not only in the vegetable kingdom, but in the animal kingdom. Now, these laws will continue, the laws of gravity, force, inertia, energy, they will continue until the end of time. That's the way God designed it. And if we did not have these laws, like you, I know there'd be chaos. But we also need to understand that with all the good that comes from these laws, adversity and suffering also can come from them. We need to realize that and not forget it. If I fall off the top of my house tomorrow working on a shingle, I'm going to suffer the effects of gravity, aren't I? And I'm going to suffer some form of adversity. Now, if I was younger, it wouldn't hurt me at all. Young people can fall and get right up. You get older, it hurts a lot more, doesn't it? And so we need to understand this basic fact. We also need to remember that man is a free moral agent. I put Joshua 24:15 here, where most are familiar with this verse, where it said, "And it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve." Joshua was telling them, "Choose you this day." They had a choice. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So God made us, as you know, free moral agents. We can choose. We make choices in life. Now, some of the choices I make might go against some of the laws of nature. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that sometimes I might make a choice that might not be the wisest choice. And I'll maybe suffer some injury. I might possibly suffer death. But we live with choices. God lets us make choices. And so we have to strive to understand this. We have to strive to pray for wisdom, as James said in James 1:5, so we don't make fools of ourselves and we can try to make proper decisions in life. We might even make choices to do things, to eat things, and do things in life that shorten our life or cause, bring about hurting our body. So we need to remember that. And then we also need to remember a basic fact that death is a certainty for everybody. Hebrews 9:27. "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, the handwriting on the wall for every one of us is death is coming. It's been coming after us ever since the day we entered this world, the day we were born. And it never fails to get its victim. Now, we might, through earthly endeavors, put it out of our mind for a while, but it's still there nonetheless, isn't it? And it pursues us with an eagle's eye and a lion's heart, and it never gives up. It doesn't matter if we're on the land, if we're on sea, if we're in the air, if we're in the city or the country, no matter where we are, it's always on our trail. And one day, a fact is, one day it's going to overtake me and it's going to overtake you. That's just the fact of life. When I was little, my parents used to carry us to funerals, and I'm glad they did, because it was a nice realization to realize, hey, I'm not going to live on this earth forever. So I carried my children to funerals, and I think you do your children an injustice by not teaching them that death is a part of life. We need to realize we're going to die. Now, knowing these facts should cause us to expect adversity. That's the reason I brought it out. As long as we're in these earthly tabernacles, it's called life on earth. Life on earth. Everyone at some form or some time in their life is going to have adversity. It may come or go. It might even be constant. I know people who have constant adversity in their life. The question comes up as Christians, how are we to walk with God in these times of adversity? And I've got three suggestions that I thought of and worked with, and I want you to share them with you here. Now, the first I'm using is the one I used last night for prosperity. Ecclesiastes 7:14, it talked about in the day of prosperity, be joyful. You'll notice tonight he says, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. So the question comes up then, what am I to consider? Well, first of all, we ought to consider why you love and serve God. When adversity, no matter what it is, comes in your life, you ought to ask that question. And I use Job here because when you think of adversity, most people think of Job. We know the story. Satan came there and talked when God was meeting with the sons of men there, it says, and Satan came and he said, have I considered my servant Job? And Job, Satan believed, you'll notice here in verse 10, has thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan believed the only reason Job served God was because of the blessings God had blessed him with. He put a hedge around him. And he truly was a blessed man. He had 7 daughters, 3 sons. The Bible says he was the greatest of all the men in the East. He had more than you and I will ever have. And yet he lost it all. You know the story. The property taken away all at once. His children and family taken away. He's afflicted from his head to his feet with boils. He sits in ashes, cast out from society. His own precious loving wife says, "Does thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." Just turned on him. Now I tell you, if anybody went through adversity, he knew what it was about. The hedges were removed and he never flinched. Never flinched. There's nothing that's going to cause Job, you see, to turn away from God, because his love for God wasn't based on prosperity or family or health or ease in life, was it? What was his attitude? You remember what he said in Job 1, 21 and 22? He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, how many people are here in this audience have uttered those same words when they've gone through adversity of some form? I know I have. And it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." It's easy to say that I love God when I got plenty of money in the bank, like we talked about last night, and things are going well in my life, and I'm healthy, and I'm on the mountaintop of life. But what about when I'm in the valley? What about when I'm walking, as the psalmist said in Psalms 23, through the valley of the shadow of death? Will I love Him then? You know, we say we love God all the time, don't we? We pray, we say, "I love Thee, Lord." Have you ever thought about maybe He says, "You really love me, Rufus? Okay, prove it. Let's see." Have you ever thought about that? Now, how is it going to happen? Well, it can happen through adversity. Now, how I react to the adversity really shows God my true heart, doesn't it? And it shows God your true heart. Will you love Him? Will you be faithful only when times are good? But will you also love Him and be faithful when times aren't so good, when you're going through adversities? In the day of adversity, consider. And then I thought about consider something else. You consider, are you what you ought to be? Psalms 139, David there in verse 23 and 24 makes an interesting statement. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, David wanted God to do this. Have you ever thought about this? This is bold to really say to God. He's asking God to search him and to try him. Now, how do you think God tries people today? How do you think that's going to happen? Well, if I understand the Bible correctly, it's going to happen through adversity. How many of us want to go home and pray that? Why did he do it, though? That lead me in the way everlasting. He wanted to make sure that his heart was right and his life was right and that he was on the road that he ought to be on. And that's why he asked God to do that. And if you think about it, another great hero of faith, Moses. Remember in Psalms 90? What did he say in verse 12? "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I made the statement years ago, I prayed for patience as Romans. Well, I really hadn't paid much attention at the time to that verse in Romans where it talks about tribulation bringeth patience, you know. And I prayed for patience and I was out of work a year. And I was sitting at home, I was playing Mr. Mom. And I thought, well, I'm not going to pray anymore for patience. Like I can out-trick God. But you know, God understands what Rufus needs, whether Rufus prays for it or not, doesn't he? And Moses understood, teach us to number our days. How's he going to do that? How are you going to learn to number your days and appreciate the days you have, a pretty day like this, and stop and smell the flowers and spend time with your family when you say you don't have time and talk to them? How's God going to do that? If I understand it correctly, it's going to be through some form of adversity, something to try you in your life that's going to make you appreciate what you're not seeing It's right in front of you. Matter of fact, Moses went on to say, make us glad. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Not days, he said years. Why? He had the same attitude as David. Adversity shows not only your true heart, it shows God your true character. It also shows you and others your true character. It shows what we're made of. And it ought to cause us to examine our lives, to look at God's Word and say, am I really what I ought to be? What corrections do I need to make in my life? Like David and Moses, we need to understand that really this life is to prepare us for the next life. And we're God's. God has many teachers. So in the day of adversity, you need to consider. And then I thought of something else. Your times are in God's hand. Psalms 31, one of my favorite verses, verses 14 through 15. When I've gone through adversity in my life, I read this. It said, but I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Remember when you obeyed the gospel, you gave up the world, and you told the Lord and others that you wanted to just give yourself to Him completely. And Paul talked about this through the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. There's other places, but this verse brings it out, verses 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? He says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, we're God's. Now, we belong to Him. And I want you to think about that. If I have that attitude, what's that going to do in my life? And I remember that my times are in God's hand. It means I'm going to be content to be in life where He places me. You know, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, did he? I used to tell my wife that when I'd want to go move somewhere. She'd say, I don't want to go. I'd say, well, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. She'd look at me and, you know, we'd pray about it. That's the way it goes. I had to be content to be where God placed me. I need to be content to accept what God lays upon me in my life. I need to be content to die if necessary, if that's what God wants. And I need to get the idea of this, I deserve this, out of my head. I think of the movie, I like Westerns, and I remember Clint Eastwood had a statement in one of his line in one of his statements, Unforgiven. He said, deserves got nothing to do with it. You ever seen that movie? Some people say, I don't deserve this, Rufus. I don't deserve it. Deserve it? Why not? Why don't you deserve it? What makes you different than anybody else? What makes me different? I belong to God. I think this really is the secret to dealing with adversity. I thought about this. I know in my own life, what is the secret? Well, my times are in His hands. In other words, I am His. I am God's. I gave my life to God. And I am His to do with as He sees fit as I travel on this journey called life. If you want to even make it even shorter, I'm His to do with as He sees fit, period. I belong to God. And that's the attitude David had. That's the attitude Moses had. And that's the attitude we ought to have. We ought to consider when we're going through adversity. Life's not fair. That's why they sing the song, You Never Promised Me a Rose Garden. We know that song, don't we? If you've been married, you've sang that before, haven't you? Sometimes this is the way things are. I belong to God. Someone once said, a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. And I like that. So the question comes up, well, what should I be doing during times of adversity? Well, the same thing you're doing when you're not in adversity. Now think about that. It's not that hard. I put three simple things. First of all, keep my eyes on Jesus. Remember in Matthew the 14th chapter, disciples are in the boat. They see Jesus walking on the water. We've heard sermons about this, and we all can tell it. We tell it to the children. Their little eyes light up at night in the bedroom. And Peter jumps out, if it's you, Lord, and he jumps out and he's walking on the water like Jesus. And what happened? It says he began to sink in verse 30. When? It says when he saw the wind and the waves. Now, in order to see that, what did he have to do? He took his eyes off Jesus. I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus. That's the same thing the Hebrew writer said. Hebrews 12, verse 1 actually talks about our race. And in verse 2, it says about Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I'm to look to Him. So I need to keep my eyes on Jesus during times of adversity. I need to pray and cast it all upon the Lord. That's one thing that adversity will do. Carrie, I was talking to her today on the phone, and while she was at work, and she said one of the doctors there was having a kidney stone, and I thought, well, that'll increase your prayer life. You ever had a kidney stone? It'll increase it. If you're not praying like you ought to be, you will. Until they hit you with that morphine, you won't be doing anything. But when adversity comes in my life, I need to pray. I don't have to worry about bearing it. What did the psalmist say in Psalms 55:22? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. You shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And I like Psalms 27, verses 13 through 14, where the sweet singer of Israel there said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember, we belong to God. So I keep my eyes on Jesus, and I pray, and I cast it all upon the Lord. As Moses said once, the battle is the Lord's. I don't have to fight it by myself. And then read the Bible and trust in Him. That sounds simple, doesn't it? It's things we ought to be doing before adversity. I've got Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. I thought about as we were singing this song, and I thought about this afternoon, the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And I thought, how many times I've sang that song in my life growing up in the church. It's in this book, It Is Well With My Soul. And we all sing it. And it's a beautiful song, and it's easy to sing when everything is well in your life, isn't it? We sing it, it is well, you know, when peace like a river envelops my soul. You know, when sorrows like sea billows roll, we sing it, it's so pretty. What about when you're really in that situation? Is it really well with your soul then? Someone once said, then whatsoever wind doth blow, my heart is glad to have it so. And blow it east or blow it west, the wind it blows, that wind is best. And I like that. Of course, one final verse, Romans 8:28. You probably thought of it. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to the purpose. My times are in His hands, and all I got to do is keep my eyes on Jesus, pray and cast it upon the Lord, read the Bible and trust in Him, and He's going to work it out somehow. I don't know. He knows, not me, to my good. And that's comforting to me. I think it's interesting that, as I stated, adversity started in the Garden of Eden when man sinned and the tree of life was there, and they got kicked out of the garden, and adversity started. Adversity ends when we come in contact symbolically with the tree of life again. Revelations 22 verse 2 says that the tree of life is in heaven symbolically, and in that where adversity will end. Tonight it may be that you're going through adversity, and if you are, I hope this has helped you some, and I hope you'll take the things I've said and maybe some things that you've thought about, and you'll draw closer to the Lord and not let it drive you away from the Lord. Job said in Job 14:1, as I stated, man that is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. But in verse 14 of the same chapter, he asked a simple question. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? And the answer to that is yes. And faithful Christians that are here tonight, they know that. They realize that when they leave this world, they're going to spend eternity in one or two places. the bliss and joy of heaven or the fires of what the Bible refers to as hell. And because they know that, they've made preparation for it. So they don't have to worry, like the psalmist in Psalms 23. You take the first verse and the last verse of that psalm. I like to do that. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." First and the last verse. And Christians like you who have obeyed the gospel, I understand that. But there may be someone here tonight who has yet to do that. And you need to realize that you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. And where you spend eternity, God has left up to you because He's done everything. He sent Jesus. And all we have to do is obey. We have to get into Christ so we can walk with God. He reconciles us back to Christ, back to God. Christ does. It's not hard. You hear the Word, you believe it, you repent of your sins, you confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and you'll be buried in the waters of baptism, and the Lord will add you to the church. You'll be among the saved. And then you can leave here tonight, live faithfully all your days. Does that mean you'll never have adversity again? No. No, it doesn't. But I'll tell you, I've often thought, and I said to someone who I know is in constant adversity, I would rather spend 70 to 80 years of my life going through adversity and suffering and go to heaven than to have perfect health and plenty of money and go to hell. I would. Because what is 70 to 80 years compared to eternity? Anyone that's ever lived on this earth is somewhere right now. I hope you'll think about that. The question is, where are you going to be? The choice is yours. Maybe you've been thinking about it. I know others have been praying about it. But you need to do something about it tonight yourself. Because life is short and death is certain. And the judgment's coming. If we can assist you, I encourage you to come while we stand in silence.